This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Welcome to DSC's Campfires with Larry Wysoon, the unique blend of hunting, fishing, wildlife conservation, and the outdoor lifestyle. DSC's Campfires is brought to you by DSC, Conservation, Education, and Hunter Advocacy. Hornady, accurate, deadly, dependable. Trigicon, brilliant aiming solutions. Taurus, award-winning pistols and revolvers. Mossberg, American built, American strong. And the Red 55 Winery in Lindale, Texas. Signature wines of Grammy award-winning country artist Miranda Lambert and owned by Rick and Beverly Lambert.
Welcome to the campfire. J. Frank Dobie, who was the poet laureate of the state of Texas many years ago, he happened to be a professor at Texas University, and if you listen to some others you've heard me talk about, I sure wish he'd have been at the Texas A&M University, but he was a folklorist, and he spent a lot of time traveling around Texas, and he wrote some absolutely fantastic books based upon the folklore of South Texas and different parts of the state of Texas. There's like the Mustangs, the Voice of the Coyote, and the list goes on and on and on, where he gathered these stories. You've heard me say this before, but he, in his house, on his fireplace, on the mantle, was inscribed, and I can't do it in Latin, I think, the way that it was written there, but basically the gist of it was the message that was there, and I sat down in front of the greatest philosopher of all, the fire. I think that's one of the reasons I decided to call this podcast Campfires with Larry Wysoon. Also probably the reason that I have a radio show that I do with Luke Clayton that's called Campfire Talk that has also turned into another podcast called Catfish Radio, and also why we have a podcast that I also do for Sporting Classics Daily called Campfires with Luke and Larry, of course that being Luke Clayton, who I do a lot of things with, and then there's also the book called Campfire Talk by Luke Clayton and Larry Wysoon as well, too. So if you kind of see that there's a message somewhere in there dealing with campfires, our reoccurring message having to do with campfires, or a theme having to do with campfires, it really is. Campfires are so very important to me in so many different ways. I've learned that I can spend a little bit of time around a campfire and learn a tremendous amount about people, just listening to their stories and the questions that they ask. And you know, there's something about that campfire. I told somebody not too long ago, I don't know if you're into having a weed dram here and there, but, you know, alcohol is kind of said to loosen the tongue. Well, I got a feeling that campfires kind of loosen the tongue a little bit as well, too, or at least that's been my experience. So Moving forward, I want to continue with that theme, particularly more and more as we go into 2024 and looking forward already to 2025. As I mentioned in a previous podcast, I've got a bunch of different guests coming up before too very long, and guys I've dealt with over the years and guys I've spent time around the campfire with, and really looking forward to having those on. But today we're going to, again, do kind of a little bit of an abbreviated type of podcast episode, if you will. Here in the last several weeks, I've had the opportunity, particularly while I was at the January 11th through 14th DSC Convention and Outdoor Expo, to visit with a tremendous number of people. And I found that, that people ask questions, and I try to encourage those whenever I do, and around folks, to where I learn from people all the time. To me, life is a learning experience, and every day brings a new adventure and new information. So I'm always trying to learn, and I listen to their questions, and then I try to return questions as well, too, to learn more about them and how they hunt and what they hunt with and what their feelings are about certain topics as far as outdoors are concerned, and all those other kind of great things that we as hunters and fishermen and outdoor people have a tendency to do. One of the reoccurring questions that happened there at the DSC convention this year was that Luke Clayton and I were sitting out in front of the Ascari room, which was the room designated for the DSC Foundation, where I previously served as a director and now serve as an advisor. And we're sitting there signing books and, you know, just visiting with people. And I think the question that was asked me more of anything else was, Larry, what's your favorite hunt? And I always tell them the same answer. It always starts with the same answer. It's the next place I'm going to. And they go, where's that? And I go, well, you know what? I'm not real sure right now. You know, it could be a deer hunt. It could be a bear hunt. You know, it could be a squirrel hunt. Could be a coyote hunt. Anything like that. It's always that next one that I'm looking forward to and hoping that it's going to be close to something that I might imagine. But I have been on trips too where all the dreaming and all the prep that went into it was the greatest part of that hunt. But I guess when you get right down to it, when you're talking about game species, I've been around white-tailed deer literally all my life, and good Lord has blessed me to allow me to get to the age that I am now and continue to hunt every day that I have an opportunity. This past year, I had great opportunities hunting several different places. The one that you heard about with Johnny Hudman was absolutely a fantastic trip as far as I'm concerned. And it had to do more about spending time with Johnny and telling stories and than it did actually with the monstrous deer that I shot that is now at the taxidermist there at the Double Nickel Taxidermy there about halfway between San Marcos and New Braunfels here in Texas. Can't wait to get that deer back and put him on the wall, because every time I look at it, I'm going to remember the stories that Johnny and I told and while we were there, and that while we were there, that helped us recall some of the things that he and I had done together over the years. So that was one of the next hunts I was looking forward to, and it occurred. And then there was some time I spent up in the Panhandle or Lower Panhandle with Travis Wright and got to hunt with my old friend Jim Bequette. Jim has been on the podcast several times and will be on the podcast again in the future. And Jim and I go back to the time when I first started reading Shooting Times magazine, back when Skeeter Skelton and Mr. Bill Jordan and a bunch of others were on staff there with him. And that's kind of when he came on. And then I was fortunate to be on staff with Shooting Times there for several years as well, too. During those years, Jim and I developed a great friendship, and as a result of that, every time we get an opportunity, we either visit, hunt together, and I'll tell you that I'll have him on again here before too very long, because I'm going to meet him up at the Choctaw Hunting Lodge there in Oklahoma on the Choctaw Nation's land for a bison hunt. He's going to be hunting with a Shiloh Sharps replica, and I can't wait to spend some time up there with Jim when he does that and watch him shoot a buffalo, and going to try to talk him and let me shoot that Shiloh Sharps as well, too. I'm not real sure as to the caliber and round, but I got a feeling it's going to be at least a 45 or maybe even a 50 that he's shooting, maybe a 45-70, you know, 4590 or 5110 or who knows what it's going to be. Maybe some old black powder cartridge that he's got. Can't wait to see what it's going to be. But while I've got the opportunity, I'm going to spend a little time, of course, with him as well, too. And we'll talk about some of the things that about that hunt and some of the other things that Jim has been involved with and the people he's known and all those other kind of good things. Part of that next hunt that I'm looking forward to, as I'm recording this today, I'm about to go back to the Cotton Ranch. The Cotton Ranch is up in northeast Texas, owned by the Cotton family, Mr. Edgar Cotton and David Cotton and the family. And it is one of those places that I got to spend a fair amount of time on this past hunting season. We're there on a managed land permit, so we're allowed to hunt until the end of February. And I passed up a couple of deer early on looking for something, hoping that Mr. Edgar, who's just a few years older than I am, that he could get onto those deer and take them. And I made the mistake of telling him that I passed them up rather than they didn't give me an opportunity to shoot. And I was told very quickly that I should not be doing that if I wanted to be coming back to the Cotton Ranch. So it's one of those places I truly, truly enjoy the company of the people that are there. Edgar Cotton, who the patriarch, and David, his son, and William Nixon, who's a friend there as well, too. William lives just right down the road, and whenever I'm there, we have an opportunity to get together. So I'm really looking forward to that hunt, and that is actually the next hunt I am going on. The next adventure beyond that is we're doing a book signing, and then Luke Clayton and Jeff Rice and I are heading up to the Gaston Lodge up in Arkansas, up on the White River, just outside of below Bull Shoals, to hunt. We're going to be hunting for big trout, quite frankly. We're going to hope to catch some big brown trout there. So another one of those next adventures that's coming up. But truly is, when asked, what is your favorite hunt, it's always the next one. And it could be something that, as I mentioned, something very, very interesting in terms of that I've never been there before, something that I've done numerous times in the past, or you know, just something new in maybe with a new gun. I've got a couple of new guns coming from Mossberg that I'm anxious to get in here. One is 6.5 PRC as opposed to the Creedmoor that I want to try to set up for doing some long-range shooting. Not long-range hunting, but long-range shooting, and I kind of play with it a little bit, and I've got another Rossi that came in. I've gotten where I really like those Rossi lever action in 30-30. I think it's a model 95, and then I think if I remember right, or 92, I'm mistaken here maybe, that's a 44 mag. I've got both of them and really like hunting with them, and I'm going to get into that a little bit later here, but I'm getting ahead of myself because I was going to make this into more of a question and answer thing, and one of the questions that I got while I was there at DSC is they'd seen a blog that I'd done about kind of returning to the past. All that came about, and when I got an assignment from Phil Massaro about for the annual Gun Digest annual, if you will, for our 25. And my title, if it is, the 70 years of buck fever. And one of the things that Phil asked me to address is some of the guns that I used over those 70 years of hunting. So I'll try to have him on a little bit later as well, too, once again. And then talk a little bit about that. But I addressed the fact that my dad shot a Model 94 Winchester, and for the longest time I thought that was probably the perfect whitetail deer gun that had ever been created, and particularly when I was younger, and shot a deer or two with my dad's. And here's of late, I'm on a lease with Mr. Corey Mason, who happens to be the executive director of both DSC and the DSC Foundation, and his dad, Jim, who I've gotten to know and really enjoy spending time with him in particular. But on that property, we have a bunch of different deer that need to be taken, both bucks and does, based upon the long-term goals of buck-to-doe ratio, fawn survival rate, the deer density, several other factors that go into play for the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department to issue permits on in terms of number of does and bucks that should be taken. And then that number is divided by the leaseholders. And in my instance, I was assigned the fact that I needed to take at least 8 does, if not 9 does. So I kind of started looking for different ways to take. I love hunting with handguns, so shot some, a couple of them with a with the Raging Hunter, and one of them is in a 44 mag, the other one is a 454 Casull. They're topped with Trijicon SRO sights, and of course, in both instances, I'm shooting Hornady custom handgun loads, those being 240 grain XTP bullets, and I'll tell you, those things are unbelievably accurate. So took some with, you know, with the handguns, and then I got to think about, it'd be kind of fun to go back and shoot a lever action. So I got in touch with the gentleman who handles all the PR media for and marketing for both Taurus and Rossi, and I said, hey, and in the meantime, he was calling me. He said, you know, we've got some great lever actions. If you ever decide you want to eat this, so I immediately called him back and said, you know what, I'd love to have a 30-30, and then two, one in a 44 mag so that I can carry my 44 mag handgun and my 44 mag lever action rifle and use the same ammo, that 240 grain XTP Hornady load, which I have found to be unbelievably accurate in those guns, and also from a thermal performance perspective, they do a great job when they hit an animal, put that animal down as quickly and humanely as earthly possible. So had an opportunity to hunt with those. Not only did I shoot some does with both the 30-30 and the 44 mag Rossi, I also shot a buck with that 44 mag Rossi lever action. I was able to slip in really close, and really close being like 25-30 steps of an old mature buck. We're assigned like 4 or 5 bucks that we can take each year off that lease per individual leaseholder, and I was able to slip in and take him with that 44 mag lever action, and really nice old 8-point when you got right down to it. It had a lot of age on him. So got a bunch of hunts coming up this year, too, for hogs and javelina and coyotes and a few other things where I'm going to be trying to use those, or not trying to, I will be using those Rossi lever action rifles. And, of course, I'll be shooting some. I hope I'll always be carrying one of my handguns, those Raging Hunters. They're kind of like one of the Burnham Brothers mouth-blown calls. I don't leave home without one, no matter where I go. I've always got one of those mouth-blown calls. I think mine is a C3 that I've had so much success with over the years. And we'll have Gary Robertson on here for too very long as well, too. Gary heads up and owns the Burnham Brothers Game Calls. And, of course, recently they finally were able to release the Freak, the FREQ, which is that ultrasonic type of thing that he came up with that is just phenomenal. It just blows all the other electronic game calls out of the water. I mean, it's one of those things that there's no comparison between it and the other that are on the market right now. It's a contrast simply because, excuse me, that Burnham Brothers Freak is just so far above in terms of technology and what animals actually hear and all those other kind of good things. So, you know, we'll have Gary on here before too very long and have him talk about some of the successes that he's had recently, including calling up all kinds of coyotes and bobcats, but also a mountain lion. So we'll see what he has to say about all that. I'm getting ahead of everything here because, my gosh, I was going to talk a little bit more about the lever actions because that was one of the questions that I got was that, you know, I understand you're shooting some more lever action. You know, why are you doing that? Well, to go back, I grew up in an era when lever actions were the king as far as rifles were concerned. And, of course, as I mentioned, shot my dad's Model 94 30-30 and shot some deer with it and long wanted one, and at the time, really, I couldn't afford one. I finally ended up with another 30-30, and if you happen to read the 70 years of Buck Fever and the Gun Digest Annual, you'll read a little bit more about it and see some photographs of some of those early guns that I had. But those Rossi lever actions, I really kind of like them for a bunch of reasons. They're short, they're compact, they're accurate. And they look good. The wood on them is very, very pretty. It almost looks like a custom rifle wood when you get right down to it. And I'm one of those who truly appreciates good wood and blued steel. Now, don't get me wrong. There are times when those rifles that are stocked with, as I used to call, plastic or fancy plywood, meaning laminated or synthetic, they have their value. And sometimes it's a weight thing, particularly, but more than anything else, it's a weather thing in terms of, you don't have to worry about those synthetics or the laminate swelling, and particularly the synthetics and as opposed to the wood. But I've never had, over the years, I've shot a lot of different and pretty wood stock rifles, and I've never had one where it was so wet or there was a problem in terms of accuracy because the wood swelling or warping. I just have never had that problem in the past. And I've actually, even over the years, had a couple of guns that I had for field testing during those years, kind of when I was with, when I was with Shooting Times, and they'd arrive in a pretty wood stock or a reasonable wood stock, not absolutely gorgeous, but I mean, they're a nice figure in it. And I'd just done a dunk that thing in a water trough or on our place where cattle watered and just kind of leave it in there for 2 or 3 days and pull it out. And then, you know, shot it before and then shot it after I dried it up a little bit and shot it afterwards to see if the accuracy had changed by the fact that it had been in the water and the wood swelled. And, I have to admit, though, too, those barrels were all free-floated, and so, but I never had any problem with that. So I'm still a big fan of the pretty wood and the blued steel, and I think that's one of the reasons I like the Rossi lever actions that I'm talking about. You know, all of us have an opportunity to hunt, maybe never as much as we want to, but with the deer populations, particularly in terms of white-tailed deer that we have today, there are a lot of opportunities to hunt, and there are usually a fair number of opportunities for us to take more than one deer, particularly when it comes to antlerless or doe deer. And to me, going back and using those lever actions was really a blast when you got right down to it, because I shot some does with them this year, and I shot that one buck with them as well, too. Hunting with them, going open sight. excuse me. I was fortunate. I had some eye surgery done for cataract surgery years ago. And up until that time, I had a devil of a time seeing open sights. I couldn't have hit, my gosh, I couldn't hit a 4 foot square at 40 yards, you know, kind of thing with open sights. But these days, since I've had the eye surgery done, I can actually see the front sight, the back sight, and the target as well. You know, more of the front sight and the target with a, you know, a little bit maybe out of focus on the back sight. But that's not bad at all. And I've learned that maybe I can shoot an open sight gun again. So that coupled with just the challenge of getting close. You know, these days I mentioned earlier wanting to set up, and I've got a Mossberg Patriot Predator and 6.5 coming. I've got some ammo that I bought recently from Hornady. That's we're going to see how it shoots in that gun. I know it's going to shoot accurately, but I think these are 143 or something like that. I think ELDX bullets that I've ordered from them, and we'll do some hand loads. We'll also do some of their regular commercial loads as well too. But so I've got that coming. And it's kind of a contrast when you get right down to it, because like that 44 mag lever action Rossi, you know, you do have to get close. You start losing downrange energy after about 100 yards that you didn't really don't want to shoot any farther than that. With that 6.5 PRC, you know, you shoot a long way and still have a lot of retained energy. Going to switch horses on you here very quickly. One of the questions I had is, you know, the 7mm PRC has been out there for a little while now. Not real long, but a little while. But I've had one this past year that I've had an opportunity to shoot. And it's a Mossberg Patriot Predator. And it's got a camo stock on it. And it's topped with a Trigicon AccuPoint scope. And I'm shooting the 175 grain ELDX Horny Precision Hunter with unbelievable accuracy in both near and far kind of thing. Had an opportunity to shoot a bear with it last spring, and I wanted to see what that bullet would do at close range. I'd shot some stuff out, you know, some hogs and that kind of thing at long range, and just got unbelievably beautiful bullet performance, and shot some of those hogs where I had a pretty good idea I was going to be able to recover the bullet, and did, and found, you know, that it traveled the entire length of a big old hog that weighed 200 pounds or more, and I found the bullet perfectly mushroomed on the at the end of it, maybe just right underneath the skin. Well, I knew what it did at those longer distances, but I really wanted to see what it do at short distance. So on this bear hunt, that's what I used and shot that bear that I killed at probably less than 12 steps, standing broadside. And as soon as I shot, it kind of whirled him around, and he tried to whirl. And as soon as he did, I put another shot right to the just below and to the right of his tail, and wanted to see, hopefully, to recover that bullet. He was literally dead on the first shot because it took the vitals out. And found that bullet at the very, just almost up there close to where his ear was. And that bullet, it traveled. Oh, my gosh, that was a 7.5-foot bear. So and that's, we're talking about tip of the nose, tip of the tail. So it had to travel at least better than 6 feet through skin, muscle, bones, you know, intestine, all that other kind of lungs, more bone, more muscle, you know, and tough muscle through the shoulder area and up into the neck. And that bullet was perfectly mushroomed. So I learned a lot about that 7PRC at that moment. And it's one that I've used a pretty fair amount this year to take some really nice deer. And particularly in terms of, oh, some management bucks that I've been shooting and a few does. And I'm fortunate I get to hunt several places where I've been able to help with trying to decrease the doe population. And before anybody asks about what happens with all the meat, I assure you that every edible ounce of meat there is on those deer that I take is utilized either by my wife and I, my daughters and their husbands, my grandkids and their wives and girlfriends and all those other kind of things, and then a whole bunch of friends as well too. So we keep people well stocked in venison, but you know, I'm fortunate too that I really like venison, and I'll be very open about it. We also make a bunch of sausage very recently, and my son-in-law Lance Tigert and several other people that he's been friends with for a long time, and we were able to put together about something over 400 pounds of sausage. So they'll be utilized by different families, and we'll end up giving some away as well too. But a lot of it will be used by our families when you get right down to it. So all those animals that we shoot, that I shoot, absolutely every little bit of it gets used. Somebody asked about, while I was there, about what kind of tissue damage are you getting from that PRC and that 7mm. And I've not shot the 6.5 into an animal. I've been fortunate to shoot it, but those bullets are traveling quite rapidly, and I know there is some tissue damage, but you know, here's the deal. As far as I look at, well, you're going to blood shoot a bunch of meat. You know, I've got friends who've got dogs, quite frankly, and they'd like to get a little of that bloodshot venison. But the thing is, if you shoot that deer through the rib cage, you know, right behind the shoulder, the damage to meat is very minimal. Now, if you shoot it through the shoulders or shoot it through the ham, yeah, there's going to be some damage, and you may lose a pound or two. But the other side of that is I know that if you hit that animal to where it's going to go through the, somewhere through the vitals, you know, guess what? You're going to find that animal and you're not going to lose it. And so to me, I'd rather take a chance of losing a little bit of bloodshot meat due to the gun or the caliber and round that I'm shooting than I would shooting a minimal, what I would consider a minimal caliber round on deer, and take a chance of losing that entire deer. So that's something to consider as well too. But going back to that 7mm PRC, I'm trying to come up with a rifle, and I've been talking to Mossberg, and we've talked about barrel lengths. Now, the beauty of the 7mm PRC is that a 20-inch barrel is really all you need. You might lose a few foot-pounds of energy and a few feet per second by not shooting it through a 24 or 26-inch barrel, but it is so minimal, the difference between the two, that an animal, even if you shot it at 400 yards and farther even, you know, would not know the difference between being shot with a 26-inch barrel or a 20-inch barrel. And as more people are going to suppressors, such as those produced by Silencer Central, and I'll be very open about this, I currently do not have a suppressor on any of my rifles, but in visiting with Mossberg, I'm trying to get them to produce a 20-inch barrel and a 7 PRC. Now, most suppressors are about 4 inches long. You know, there are some that are longer, some that are maybe even a little bit shorter, but certainly not very many, but most of them are at least at 4 inches. I like a relatively short barrel because when I put a sling on that rifle and I'm walking through the brush, I don't want that end of that muzzle to be any taller than about my ear, because that way, when I walk through something, I'm not constantly catching that barrel as I walk. And particularly if you got to bend down and crawl through some things, if you got a sharp barrel, that makes all the difference in the world. And that sharp barrel too is so much easier to swing around to where it's the handleability, if there's really such a word, you know, handling that rifle, it becomes a whole lot easier and a whole lot quicker and points quicker. And you can do so in really nasty thick brush and all those other kind of things that where you don't have to kind of maneuver around a long barrel rifle. Well, with a 20-inch barrel, if you put a 4-inch suppressor on it, you're still talking about a 24-inch barrel total. And that 24-inch barrel would do everything that you would need with that suppressor. The 20-inch barrel on a 7mm PRC with the loads that the Hornady commercially produces is an absolutely fantastic rifle round combination. I mentioned it numerous times, and I'll tell you, going back many years ago, I loved the 7x57. I think part of that came in from the fascination of reading about Karamojo Bell shooting elephants with it. Eleanor O'Connor, Jack O'Connor's wife, shot everything from huge Indian lions, tigers, to all kinds of stuff in Africa with it. And it was just a great round. So I absolutely fell in love with the 7x57 years ago, or what the British refer to as the 275 Rigby, because they, I guess, didn't like the Germans, and it was a 7x57 or a 7mm Mauser kind of thing. So they decided to create their own, being the same cartridge, just with a different head stamp, using the 275 Rigby. But that, and over the years, I shot a lot of things with a 280 Remington, again, you know, that 7mm, and for whatever reason, 7mm have always worked extremely well for me. I've not been a big fan of the 7mm Remington mag, or even I've shot, if, you know, to me, if I'm shooting a mag, I did have a 7mm Weatherby Magnum for a while that I actually loved, and it was extremely accurate, particularly with Hornady. But the 7mm rounds, if you will, as a whole, that 7mm caliber, the 284, or .284, 284 thousandths of an inch thing, it's just phenomenal. It really is. There's something special about them as far as I'm concerned. And this new 7 PRC, I have to tell you, it right now, if I could probably just own two guns, and God forbid that should ever happen, because I've got several guns I really dearly love and so many different rounds that I've shot that I really like. But, you know, if it came down to having to shoot just one rifle, I mentioned this in the past, it would be a 375 Ruger. I've used that thing from everything in Africa, from blue diker, about the size of a big jackrabbit, or small jackrabbit, really, up to elephants. And I've done wondrously with it. I've shot roe deer with it in Austria. I've shot stag and fallow and reindeer in the Scandinavian countries there as well. And I've used it on buffalo in Australia and some things over in New Zealand and of course everything here in North America, from the biggest brown bear that ever shot or will ever probably ever shoot, one that squared almost 11 feet and made Boone and Crockett, down to even things about the size of a coos deer, and certainly coyotes and a few other things as well too. So, but if I weren't going to hunt the world and I was strictly going to hunt, say, maybe elk being the largest thing there is, and whitetail and mule deer and black bear and pronghorn antelope, those being my primary species that I thought I was going to be able to hunt, there's no doubt in my mind that the one gun that I would own would be the 7mm PRC. I am just tremendously impressed with it in terms of, particularly when shooting that Hornady ammo, it is just so accurate. and it is so deadly, and it shoots well in a long gun or a short rifle barrel, as well as I mentioned, a 20-inch barrel, and it is just one of those great, well-balanced cartridges that I'm so glad the engineers over at Hornady finally put it together, and here it is. I'd gotten in touch with Linda Powell, who does PR work and a bunch of other things for Mossberg, and asked her about this 6.5 PRC. And I told her, so really just kind of looking for something not so much to hunt with, but what I can shoot some just long-range paper with or long-range steel or whatever with. But I got a feeling after I do that for a little bit, I'll probably end up using it on white-tailed deer and maybe another species or two here in Texas a little bit later on. But oh my gosh, after shooting that 7 PRC, every time I get ready to go on a play anywhere, and including the lever actions and the handguns, which I really enjoy hunting and shooting with, that 7 PRC is starting to whimper. It's almost like a well-trained hunting dog. It's that whenever you start to leave and you're going somewhere and you notice you're putting on a hunting coat, whether it's just going to the post office, you can just see it in his eyes. He's whimpering and he's going, oh, please take me. What are you doing? You're leaving me. I can't believe it. Well, that's kind of the feeling I'm getting about this 7mm PRC Mossberg Patriot Predator that I have. A lot of good things to come in the future. We live in an interesting time in terms of a lot of challenges. I guess it's been that way all throughout the period of human life. When you get right down to it, there have always been certain challenges, certain groups of people who don't like each other, and for whatever reason, they're fighting amongst themselves. My advice there is say a few prayers for everybody. I did a Christmas story a few years ago, and it was about this old ranger who met the bandito that he was after on a Christmas Eve, and it was ungodly cold, and so the rangers finally built a fire, and they heard somebody coming, and men trained the guns on there, and here comes this bandito and several of his henchmen and get friends of his that come to the fire, and they go, oh, senor, please, he says, it's much too cold to fight tonight, let's warm by the fire. And so they sat up all night around the fire, told stories, and I'm sure drank a little bit of whiskey or whatever they had with us and or with them. And the next day, they partied, and the ranger had an opportunity to kill the bandito, and at the last moment decided not to. And the whole basis of the story is that pray for your friends, but pray for your enemies as well. As it worked out, that bandito, finally, that he could have killed, who was the leader of that group, turned around his way of life and became an absolutely fantastic individual, helping a lot of people, and I'm sure took some of the money that he'd come up with through ill-gotten gains and turned it into a nice ranch and really did a lot of good for the community and the people that were there. And finally, the story is about how they finally get a chance to again meet up and have dinner together and sit and talk. And you got to write down to it, I'm sure that ranger later, he was praying for his enemy to see evil ways that they've seen and it changed their lives. So to me, I'm one of those that I pray for our enemies, but I pray for them to see the light, to realize that, this is not the way life should be. So, you might consider that. Not telling you to do anything along those lines, but might not hurt. We live in some interesting times, and whatever we can do to make life a little bit better for a whole lot of folks, including our family as well, too, and our friends, I think it's something that we should do. But, maybe pray for your enemies a little bit for them to see their evil ways are not the way to do things and to change how they do things. Before we get off here for the day, after a little bit of philosophizing, see, I told you earlier, you'd have to imagine I am sitting around a campfire because I'm here philosophizing about a bunch of different things that I normally don't do. But whenever you sit down in front of the fire, it kind of loosens the mind, loosens the tongue as well, too, is kind of what's happened here. Just want to remind you, I spoke earlier about some things, but I've got a new website, and it's called, it's www, and I'll spell it for you. It's www.LarryweisHun.net. And Jeff Rice put this together for me not too very long ago, and it's a place to where you can read a bunch of my blogs. I do a lot of blogging these days for various companies and all those kind of things, and I've got a blog that I do pretty much one a week, or at least two a week, once every other week, but a lot of times I'll do four or more in a month. So these can be seen on sites like some of the Horny sites, the DSC site, International Sportsman, Carbon TV, and Taurus, and a bunch of other places as well, too. But you can always find them there, and there's a substantial number there right now. You just kind of go to the section that says blogs. There's the podcast, this podcast, too, now. You can see it there, and you can listen to it there, and then there's also stuff for the TV show that I do with Luke Clayton and Jeff Rice, the Sportsman's Life, that airs on carbontv.com, and of course there's a YouTube channel as well. But you can also look and see it right there on LarryWysoon.net. We're in the process right now of putting together something to where you can also contact me there. And as we get that thing put together, which should be here in the next week or two after this podcast goes out, I'll let you know there, because I'd love to hear from you, too. The questions, I kind of summarized a lot of them and this time, and we'll get some more specific questions here in the future in terms of some of the a little bit more technical type stuff that I was asked this past several weeks. And I've been in a lot of different hunting camps here of late and did a fair amount of talking at Wildlife Association banquets, and got a few more of those coming up as well, too. But a lot of times I get questions there, and I'll kind of jot them down, and I want to go back and answer some very specific questions. Just happened to tell the people that's what I was going to be doing later on. But if you get a chance, go to LarryWysoon.net, and as soon as you can leave a message there or send me an email, I'd greatly appreciate it if you did. In the meantime, before we meet again next week, and hopefully the good Lord willing, we'll be right back here around the campfire. You know, think about what you're going to be doing this fall. Right now is the time. If you're at a DSC convention and you booked a trip, you know, right now is a good time to think about what all you're going to do and start planning your hunts for this coming year. And if you're looking at a new gun, such as I am with that Mossberg and a 6.5 PRC, now is a good time to get him, because I'll have almost several months before the fall gets here to determine how good I am with it, because I know it's going to be accurate. It's just going to come down to my ability to shoot it as accurately as what that gun is built to be and the ammo that I'm using. So something to think about. Again, thank y'all so much for joining us around the campfire, and I can't wait to get back together with y'all right here next week.
DSC's Campfires has also been brought to you by the Crown Bar in LaGrange, Texas. Habit, our gear, your adventure. The Texas Wildlife Association, Double Nickel Taxidermy, Burnham Brothers Game Calls, and H3 Whitetail Solutions.
I'm Will Cooper, and you're listening to Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast on the Waypoint Podcast Network. Stick around as I bring you more stories and interviews from veteran hunters and industry professionals who inspire us all to be better equipped in the woods and in life.
A life that has the stories to back it. A life to be proud of. It's a Winchester life.
Yeah, baby. 6'8 Western. Oh, mule deer, baby, right there.
Tune in every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV